The Shepherd and His Sheeple. Today I want to talk about a simple topic, and it reminds us a lot about the simplicity that is in Christ. It's something that we should not forget about. The concept of He, Christ, being the Shepherd, and true saints, His sheep, His people, affectionately called sheeple. I think this is a beautiful sample, analogy, example of God's natural order and the simplicity of the relationship of God to His people. And as I teach this, I think it's going to give you a little bit, also a little side bonus, a little clear evidence that Christ is God. We'll get to that in a minute. So if we start talking about the sheep of God, I call them sheeple, and I mean that affectionately, the true sheep of God, born of the gospel. We'll get to the gospel here in a minute. I think a lot of people would run to the New Testament and like the book of John, maybe verse 14. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. There's a lot of good verses in the New Testament about sheep. We'll get to some of those. But what I want to do today is start in the Old Testament, lay a little bit of foundation, and then go from there. Let's read from Psalm 95, verses 6 through 8. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. So, Psalms are beautiful, beautiful writing. Notice how it lays the groundwork for the deity of Christ. Why do I say that? Well, it says He is our God. It's talking about the sheep and God. What does Jesus tell us in John 10, 26 to verse 30? Here you go. You need some more evidence that Jesus is fully God. Jesus said, but ye believe not, because ye are not my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So, very, very clear indication. The Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, the three in one Godhead. Very, very clear. A lot of people argue and dispute that. I have teachings about that on my teaching page. Christ, fully God in the flesh, our great shepherd, and His true saints as His people, or as I said, affectionately, sheeple. Check out the teaching page at don'tperish.com and look up Christ is God. I'll give you other references for that as well. Then before I give you some more verses in the scriptures, Old and New Testament, on sheep, have you pondered some of the, you might say, nuances of the shepherd-sheep kind of relationship? Have you ever pondered this? Well, check this out. Go test me on these facts. Ready? So sheep are known to be defenseless. Without a shepherd, they're pretty defenseless. Shepherds would destroy them all quickly. I've seen stories where wolves or bears come in on a flock and kill every single one of them. They are defenseless. They need the shepherd. We need Christ, don't we? How about the shepherd leads the sheep to food and green pastures? Without that shepherd, they would perish. They would not find continued grazing. They need that shepherd to feed them. How about this one? I love this one. They know His voice and they follow no other shepherd. Isn't that awesome? I once saw a video of a flock of sheep, and the shepherd had like eight people stand by the fence and call to them. The sheep looked and didn't recognize anybody's voice. The shepherd walked up to the fence and called once, and all the sheep came running. They recognize His voice, not the voice of a stranger. That should be us. recognizing God's word and not following false teachers and false doctrine. How about this one? I think this one's really awesome. The shepherd is the one that brings them water to drink or they perish. So if you look at, like in Israel, in the heart of it all, there's not a lot of flowing water anywhere. And so the shepherds bring their sheep to wells. And the wells, the water has to be dipped way down with buckets, brought up and poured into troughs. Sheep can't do that. And isn't that a perfect example of the shepherd giving us the living water? The sheep will perish without that living water that he pours out into us. How about true sheep of God only associate closely with other true sheep? They don't hang out with goats, or they are weary of anything that would be false or like an impersonator type of situation. We should only be united to true saints that are holding fast to sound doctrine. How about the shepherd has a staff? And this staff, sometimes it's a long wooden tool with a hook on the end of it. He can use it as a club against wolves or bears. He can also use it as a hook to grab the sheep out of a hole or to discipline them when it is needed. The Bible talks about thy rod and thy staff comforts me. God chastises those whom he loves, right? How about the sheep? Ready? For the shepherd, they provide much fruit. Go read John 15. We much bear much fruit. They give milk. They give meat. They give cheese because they make it from the milk. They give wool. They live to provide for the shepherd, not their own will. Right? They're basically bond slaves to that shepherd. And then how about this one? The shepherd keeps them at times, like in the evening, in sheepfolds, pens, to protect them. And it's how, like, his spirit and his word protects us. And Christ is the only gate. He's the only way, right? John 14, 6. I've seen pictures of sheep pens, and they said there's only one door, and the shepherd would sleep in the door, they say. How about sheep were often used for blood sacrifices in the Old Testament and the New, in the Gospels? And today, saints, his people, his sheeple, are to sacrifice our lives for him and his cause. Romans 12, 1 and 2, living sacrifices. So we're to pour ourselves out for our shepherd. And then last point, ready? Sheep don't make up their own way. They follow and they obey their true shepherd, and they're happy to just be the sheep of his pasture. They know what they're made for, and they do what they're made for. Reminds me of Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14. By the way, they obey their shepherd, otherwise they're lost, get eaten by wolves, they die of thirst or die of hunger. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So I love that. That's our duty as his people and his sheep. Fear God, keep his commandments. There's a lot more aspects to the shepherd-sheep kind of relationship, but that's a few interesting points to ponder. Now let me take you to some scriptures, old and new, on sheep while we're talking about the subject. Numbers 32:24. Build you cities for your little ones and folds for your sheep. That's that pen I was talking about. And do that which hath proceeded out of your mouth. Deuteronomy 7:13. And he will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb and the fruit of thy land, thy corn, thy wine, thine oil, thine increase of thine kin, and the flocks of thy sheep in the land which we share. He share unto thy fathers to give thee. So having sheep was like a sign of wealth because sheep were so valuable. How about 2 Samuel 17:29? And honey and butter and sheep and cheese of kine for David and for the people that were with him to eat. For they said, the people is hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. So these sheep provided a lot, okay, for the people. They were very critical, and the shepherd looked after them. Pretty interesting dynamic when you think about it, and what a great example to to have Christ as our shepherd and us his people of his pasture. 2 Chronicles 5:6. Also King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him before the ark sacrificed sheep and oxen, which could not be told nor numbered for multitude. So a lot of sheep, a lot of animals were slaughtered, thousands, probably millions, and Christ became the ultimate Lamb of God for us, so that sacrificing of the lambs is critical all through the Old Testament, even into the New, into the Gospels. How about Job 1:16? While he was yet speaking, there also came another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I am the only one escaped alone to tell thee. So when Job was being persecuted by Satan. How about Psalm 78:52? But made he his own people to go forth like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. Imagine that. Remember when Israel went out of Egypt and God had to guide them through the wilderness, through the desert. Moses acted as kind of an archetype of a shepherd. Ultimately, Christ is our shepherd. How about this famous verse? These two verses. Isaiah 53:6-7. We all like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. There's a prophecy of Christ coming to die for all of us and for all of our sin. Jeremiah 23:1-2. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people. Ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord. So God expected pastors to be like a shepherd to look after his people. There's another correlation for you. Small archetypes. And then Ezekiel 34:6. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search for or seek after them. So Israel, Jesus said, I came for the lost sheep of Israel. So God uses the description of them being scattered. And there were times when they scattered themselves. There were times when God scattered them into exile because of their sin. So it's all these deep, rich, meaningful examples, correlations, archetypes that we can learn from as the people of God today, if we're claiming him. Let's go to the New Testament. Matthew 7:15. Jesus said, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Yep, a lot of people fake their sheep, but they really are wolves. Matthew 9:36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. So the Lord uses that example. You get sheep with no shepherd, they're set for predators, destruction, dying of thirst. It's not good. Not good at all. Mark 14:27. And Jesus said unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. So look what happened. The Pharisees and the Romans take Jesus prisoner, start to execute him, and his body, his disciples, are scattered in fear. Then back to John 10:7. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. There's that archetype of a pen. Jesus is the door. He's the only way in. He is the door to salvation. How about Romans 8:36? As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. You always hear that analogy. Oh, it's like sheep for the slaughter because sheep are so defenseless. They say when they take them to slaughter, they go quietly. They're not like all hyper, like I guess cows or pigs or whatever it would be. They're very calm, I guess. Don't make any sound. It's what I hear. Check that out. But that's what I've heard people say. Hebrews 13:20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. So we're in a blood covenant, and I will share the gospel in a minute here. And we do not want to ever take advantage of that blood covenant as his sheep and his people, his sheeple. We want to be following him in holy obedience. And then last verse from the New Testament, 1 Peter 2:25, "For ye were a sheep going astray, but now we have returned unto the shepherd and bishop of our souls." I like that. The shepherd of our souls. So when you think about this shepherd and sheep relationship, people, God's people, sheeple, it's simple, it's natural, it's orderly, and it's a blessing and it's wisdom to seek God's kingdom in these simple ways. And this is how saints are made, this simple way, via the gospel. Christ came into the world to seek and save the lost. He died, shed his blood, rose again, defeated death, calls all men everywhere to true repentance out of sin, the world, and churchianity, to be born again by his Spirit when we obey, Acts 5:32, to walk in holy obedience as his sheep, and endure to the end, following the shepherd. That is the gospel. Check it out at don'tperish.com. By that good news, anyone, Jesus said in John 3, whosoever can be made the sheep of his pasture. What great news. And that is eternal versus seeking for things that are temporal and corruptible. And I don't know about you, I've lived almost 64 years. I see the world, churchianity, man's flesh, my own flesh, complicated, confusing, stressful, sinful, lacking peace and any true rest. And I don't know about you, but I'll tell you this. When Sister Amma and I travel and we see a pasture, green, peaceful, sunshine, sometimes water, full of sheep, I tell you what, that brings me great calm, peace. I see simplicity. I see God's order. I see something to be held. Behold, I see sheep doing what they're made to do. They're obeying their shepherd. He's looking after them. They hear his voice and they follow him. That's what I think about when I see sheep out in a pasture. And that's what I want for my life. And I would ask you, what do you want for your life? Not self-will, chaos, sin, self-fulfillment, worldliness, every false way. No. How about peace? How about holiness? How about contentment? How about godliness, which contentment with godliness is great gain, or godliness with contentment is great gain, either way. How about obeying the one who shed his blood for us and trusting in him fully, listening to his voice, being his sheep of his pasture? It only comes by submitting our lives fully to him, the creator of all things. One more verse for you. Ezekiel 34:31. "And ye, my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord God." I love that. Are you the sheep of God's pasture? By your testimony, by your life, you've come out of every false way. You've been born again. You're walking in holiness. You're growing every day, week, month, and year. You're losing everything that's not of him. Are you his people? Ponder that this day. The shepherd and his sheep, his people. Affectionately, the sheeple of God. I'll leave you with this. Glory to the shepherd of our souls.